Hey everyone, this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day, and guess who we're doing today? Sojourner Truth, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when I plan for a season, I ask my family and friends, hey, what do you think I should do an episode on? They give their feedback, or whatever, great. But then I'm going through life and I'll think about something and I'll completely scrap the episode and I'll do something else. This was that example because I was watching like the Dave Chappelle special on Netflix. You know, the one that has everyone up in a complete uproar and tizzy. And first of all, I loved it. I thought it was right on time, but neither here nor there. Anyway, he mentioned Sojourner Truth and how the women's suffrage movement kind of, you know, kicked her out. And, well, not kicked her out, but she was kind of put to the side. And I was like, wow, people don't talk about Sojourner Truth enough, so that's what the episode's on. Anyway, so before we get into the episode, where has Lady Billy Day been? And I give the same excuse every time. I am a lazy monster. And once I get in my bed after work, that's it. If you don't catch me on the weekend, you're not catching me during the week. And that is how I feel sometimes when I'm trying to be productive with this podcast. Because I'll be like, you know what? Let me go research. Let me go be a good person. And Mr. Darcy's like, you know, you should probably go research for your podcast. Or you should probably record an episode. Stop being an idiot. You should be consistent. And I'm like, yeah. Doesn't happen. It's a freaking mess. Anyway, so before we get into the episode, I did want to do a little shout out to a Black-owned business that I love dearly, and that business is called Less & Co. Candles, and I love candles, and I'm not even just saying this because, like, you know, sometimes you listen to a podcast or whatever, or a TV show, and they're like, oh yeah, I really, really love Botox, it's the best thing, and I'm like, if you didn't have the platform you had, would you be able to afford Botox without, like, your insurance? Girl, you don't love Botox. You just got it because of the sponsorship. Now, keep in mind, this isn't sponsored. I'm just saying. But I'm telling you, I really love candles. This is not one of those situations. So, if you know me personally, at any given time, I have at least 7 candles in my hallway closet. It's a mess. And it's honestly awful. And Mr. Darcy is not the biggest fan of candles. He thinks it's a waste of money to just burn some wax. And I completely disagree because one time, I was cleaning the room and I lit a candle, you know, setting the vibe. And he was like, oh yeah, it smells really good in here. Like, what do you have going on? And I'm like, it's the freaking candle. The freaking candle, I told you. So all of her candles are hand poured. They're from coconut wax. And I promise you, if you like watch her little Instagram stories or whatever, she's just, you know, pouring it and putting love into the candle. And ugh. Jiminy Christmas. Okay. Anyway, if you want to follow her, support her business, her Instagram is LES_and_. Wow. If you want to support her on Instagram, LES_and_CO. That is Less & Co. Candles. And please give her some love. Follow her. Buy a freaking candle. I'm serious. Buy a candle. Okay, now we're going back to the episode. Thank you. So anyway, Sojourner Truth is not just important, she's just in that name, but she's important because of her work in women's rights, human rights, and her support to the abolition of slavery. So let's get into it. This is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. Okay, so before I get into the episode, you remember how I tell you guys all the time that I refuse to have my dogs in the room with me while I'm recording? I have to keep them in the room with me this time. So if you hear, like, a lot of bags, chewing, incessant breathing, that's them. And I'm going to tell you why they're in the room with me. Not because, you know, my husband's doing anything important or there's something going on. No. So last weekend, me and Mr. Darcy went to New York for for just to have a good time, just to relax. We both had a really long weekend, so there was nobody to watch our dogs because my mother-in-law usually watches the dog for us, but she was in New York too. And so we had to put them in a kennel for the first time. And it was so hard for me because I'm a cat person. I've never had a dog before these two. And now I love them. They are my children. And I called the boarding place every day to see how they were doing. And the one day I called, they were like, yeah, Booty, like, doesn't like to be around men, so we only let women handle them, and they're together, and they're just, you know, sitting with, and I was just like, oh my God. And then we brought them home with us. First of all, they smelled like death. They smell like just dog and butt. So we took them and get them washed. They're already sad that they've been away from us. Then we have to give them a wash. And then they come home and they're just so docile. They're just laying there. And I'm like, what the heck? So we got them like big bones to make them feel better about themselves. And anyway, so I feel bad whenever I leave them. And my husband's sleeping because he worked overnight. And they just don't have anybody out there. So I'm like, they have to be with me so I don't get depressed. So if you hear like this little, that's them chewing on the bone that we got them. And they're just being annoying, per usual. But you guys know this. Anyway, so let's actually get into the episode. Sojourner Truth is born Isabella Bomfree, and she was born around 1797. Nobody really knows for sure. And she was born to a father and mother, James and Elizabeth, who were both brought to America on the Middle Passage. And she was one of possibly 12 children. So let's just break that down for a second. First of all, this is the 1700s and you're having 12 children. God. Second, you were born free and then you're brought to a foreign country to have to work, made to have 12 children. Well, maybe not made, but like in any other circumstance, would you be having like 12 children just to work them to the bone for the rest of their lives? Oh my God, Boots. Please be kind to the people. They don't want to hear that. I'm about to take his phone from you guys. Oh my God. I'm taking it. I'm taking his phone. It's just too loud. It's just too loud, Boots. And we have things to do. Socks, please. Okay, I'm going to kick them out. I tried it. Let me just go kick them out. No, get out, both of you. Get out. Boots, exit. Socks, exit. We're not going to fight out this bone. Get out. Because I will take said bone from you both! What was I talking about? Oh, the 12 kids. Brought over, you have to have 12 kids, and sure, people were having that many kids, but were you having them in a circumstance where they had to work for the rest of their lives? I just... Anyway, but her situation was a lot different than most slave experience that we hear of, because she was enslaved in New York. And granted, slavery wasn't legal in New York for as long as it was in southern states, but it was. And another interesting fact was that her owners, the Hardenbergs, Colonel Hardenberg, he spoke Dutch. So up until she was a very young girl, all she spoke was Dutch. She didn't know any English at all, which is kind of crazy. but I mean, when you think about it, you really just think of the slave experiences, you know, Africa, the Middle Passage, entering into the U.S., being forced to learn English, and then that's it. But in her case, it was that, but Dutch. So she's also walking around this Dutch community where that's the only language that they speak, but then she's also around others who speak English and she can't understand any of them, which is nuts. So after the death of Colonel Hardenberg, his son gains the estate and separates the family. Some were inherited and some of them were sold away. So Isabella was sold away to a man named John Neely, who bought her for $100 and a couple of sheep. And you know how I feel about currency in different years. So I looked it up, and $100 in 1807 is worth $2,300 today. So she was sold for a lot. And keep in mind that young people, young children, men, and women who were still fertile were extremely valuable during that time. So $100 is not unheard of. However, John Neely was very cruel, specifically his wife. He beat her. But the wife used to beat Isabella because Isabella only spoke Dutch, and she would get upset that Isabella could not speak English, or she would kind of like mix the languages, and it was just a mess. So eventually she's sold to the Dermot family, and the Dermot family actually takes the time to teach her English. So now at this point she speaks English, Dutch, and possibly whatever her parents had taught her from. Oh, her parents are from Ghana, by the way. Ah! Isn't that cool? Anywho, so anyway, she's living with the Dermot family, but already Isabella is going to be a force to be But already, Isabella is going to be a force to be reckoned with because Isabella is 6 feet tall. And bear in mind, this is the early 1800s where most people are undernourished. They aren't eating right for the time. So most people are already short. And I'm going to make a short diversion. So when Mr. Darcy and I were engaged and we were looking for a house to buy, we were looking for all these houses. Like, we were looking in Baltimore. We were looking in Laurel. Oh, you guys don't know where that is. But Laurel is not too far from D.C. We were looking everywhere, but we found this one house that we really, really, really loved. And we were going to buy it. However, the house was built in the 1940s, but it was renovated. So it was nice. But the one thing they couldn't renovate was the size of the basement. And Mr. Darcy's 6'2". I'm 5'4", so it was an issue for me. But people were so short back then that no one thought, oh, we should make a basement ceiling higher. So when Mr. Darcy would try to go down to the basement, he would have to, like, duck to go into the basement. So that was kind of a deal breaker for us, because who wants to go into their basement every time they have to do it, they have to duck down. But anyway, that's just showing you that even in the 1940s, people were very short. Like, most men and women were, like, you know, my height, which is why, also, side note, I hate when people say that Napoleon was the second and third because he was short. He had a Napoleon complex. And yeah, Napoleon complex is a thing, like a man or a woman feeling away because they're short. But Napoleon was his size for the time. Thank you. And that's the end of my TED Talk. But anyway, Sojourner Truth is 6 feet tall. She's a big girl. She's tall. And just keep that in mind throughout the entire podcast when she's doing the things she's doing. So while she's at the Dermot Plantation, she meets this guy named Robert. And she has a daughter with him. And like we said before in many other episodes, that the status of the mother during slavery is the status of the child. So if the mother's free, the baby is free. If the mother is a slave, so is the baby. However, Robert and Slaver did not like that they were together, because every time he thought to himself, any children that they have after this are not going to be owned by me. So he forbade them from seeing each other, no more children, anything like that. Anyway, Robert was like, you know, I'm going to go see them. They're my wife, and, well, not wife, but it's my kid. Robert's enslaver finds out, beats him severely, and they never see each other again. So in 1870, at 20 years old, her enslaver, the Dermots, make her marry this old guy named Thomas. I don't know how much older he was than her, but I guess sources say that he was, I guess, significantly older than her. They have 3 children together, 1 son and 2 daughters. And then this is where the interesting stuff comes. So, in New York, the time frame is they're working towards emancipation, and the Dermots say that, you know, after a year of good work from you, we'll free you. However, the year comes up, and he was like, nah. And he said, like, oh, she wasn't working that hard because her hand was broke. I mean, not broken, but her hand wasn't functioning how it used to, so she shouldn't be freed. And she said, nah. And she just leaves. However, she does take her baby daughter, but she has to leave the rest of her family behind, which I'm sure is hard to leave your children. But, I mean, you told me I was going to be free, and now I'm not. So what she says is, quote, I did not run off, for I thought that wicked. She says, quote, I did not run off, for I thought that wicked, but I walked off. But I walked off believing that to be all right, end quote. So I just think that is so funny. Could you imagine if it was me and I was a slave? I'm booking. I am running. Take my little baby and we are running. But no, she was like, you know what? Let me be a good person and just walk off. But yeah, she left. And she's kind of living her life. She's living with some Quakers. And eventually, the Dermots sell her son to Alabama. Which, if you know a lot about slavery, if anyone from the North is sold to someplace like Louisiana, Florida, Alabama, you are never seeing that person again. Unfortunately. And Isabella knew that. So what she did was she sued the Dermots for illegally selling her son, and he won his freedom. So he was brought back to New York to be with his mother. And Isabella is the first black woman to win a court case against a white man in the U.S. Isn't that freaking nuts? I just think, like, I think, now there's nothing wrong with how it was handled back then. A lot of times people just understood that's the way that it was, and they just kind of left it at that. But Isabella was like, no, I'm suing you. Bring back my kids. You know how RuPaul is like, bring back my girls. That's exactly what she was doing. Bring back the kids, please. Now let's take a pause and insert the sponsor. And we're back. So Isabella is reunited with her family in 1829 and she officially converts to Christianity. But this part of the story is shoddy. It's going to be weird. So she's in New York. She's working as like a housekeeper, just doing whatever, getting paid, trying to support the family. But then she starts working for this guy named Robert Matthew. And most people don't know him, but eventually Robert goes off on like this little thing, and he believes that he is a prophet sent from God, and he's but in reality he's a fake prophet. He's conning people. He's just an overall creep, but he claims to be God on earth, which is mind-boggling to me. And this is the power of brainwashing and like conning, because if you really sat down and think about it, how in the world are you God if God is in heaven? Like, how could God make himself? That's just, how could God be on earth if God is in heaven? Like, you know what? Whatever. Anyway, so he believes that he also believes he's an apostle. But how can you be an apostle if you're also God, but God should be in heaven? Like, what's going on here? Anyway, so he's running this big, huge scheme. He's a prophet. He's this, he's that. He grew his hair out. He grew this long beard. He's just what? The Charles Manson of, like, religious connery in New York at the time. But this is where another lawsuit is on the way. Because eventually Robert Prophet, whatever, moves someplace else. But the previous guy that she worked for dies, which is, you know, no big deal. However, some people who were following this little call were like, Isabella poisoned him and she's the reason he's dead. And she was like, no. We're not going to do that. So she sues them for slander. Now, she wins. So, I mean, like, I really love it. So keep in mind, this is 1835. There is a black woman who is suing another white person again and is successful. However, she does get some devastating news because, now keep in mind, her son, the same one that she got in the first lawsuit, he starts to work in, like, the north area someplace, whaling. So this is pretty north. He's, like, corresponding with her. Eventually, there's no more correspondence, and he just disappears off the face of the earth. Nobody knows what happens to him, and she never hears from him again. Now, I could be wrong, but this is in my Billy mind that, I don't know. I just feel like when African Americans during that time period were just escaping off the face of the earth, they were usually captured, kidnapped, sent back into slavery, sent to places like Alabama, Florida, New Orleans, stuff like that. And I don't know, that probably never even happened. Maybe it was just a incident on the ship and he died. But I don't know, just a lot of times people were kidnapped. Like, for example, 12 Years a Slave, when Solomon Northrop just gets kidnapped and sold away. Like, if he didn't have to write his story, nobody would know what happened to him other than he just disappeared off the face of the earth. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, who knows what happened to her son, but she never hears from him again. So let's move on into women's rights and the abolitionist movement. So, in 1843, Isabella changes her name to Sojourner Truth. And she becomes completely devoted to the Christian faith. She claims that she has some sort of spiritual awakening, and that is what makes her speak and start up her passion. So she also makes her way to Massachusetts to work with other abolitionists, and they own like this big acre of land, and they're just all doing abolitionist things. She meets Frederick Douglass there too, and they're just all hanging out doing their thing. In 1850, she begins touring and speaking on the slave experience. Also in that same year, she publishes her autobiography, bearing in mind that Sojourner Truth could not read or write, so her entire Her entire autobiography is dictated to someone else. Which is still autobiography. Hello. In 1851, she makes her famous Ain't I a Woman speech, which is very controversial. And not for the reasons you think. Not because it's like, oh, there's a slave and an ex-slave speaking on her experience. No. She says, quote, "Then they talk about this thing in the head. What's this they call it?" And then somebody in the audience yells, "Intellect." And she says, "That's it, honey. What's that got to do with women's rights or Negroes' rights? If my cup won't hold a pint and yours holds a quart, wouldn't you be mean not to let me have a little half measure full?" End quote. And she also says, which I love, quote, "If the first woman God ever made was strong enough to turn the world upside down all alone, these women together ought to be able to turn it back and get it right side up again. And now they is asking to do it. The men better let them." End quote. And let me say that if you ever read this speech, bear in mind that a lot of the speech has like a southern twang or a bit of the dialect of like southern slaves. But this is highly unlikely because, first of all, Sojourner is a New Yorker and she spoke Dutch. So it's unlikely that the way that you read the speech is actually how she spoke it. This is somebody like writing it down. So I think the message is correct. However, the words and like the vernacular are incorrect. Just like that, you know that. However, it's controversial because not only is she saying things that are ahead of her time, she is saying things that black women and women in general need to have rights. And the whole theme at the time was, oh, slavery in general and men deserve the right to do X, Y, and Z. And she's saying, no. Women, excluding men, need to have the right to do blah, blah, blah. And that is what's causing a lot of controversy. And eventually she's quickly overshadowed by like larger male voices. But just know, she was saying it first. But she doesn't stop there. In 1864, she also meets with Abraham Lincoln to tell him about her experiences with slavery. And also she's causing uproars in Washington, D.C. because she's going around getting in streetcars, but she's going into the white sections of the streetcars, just sitting down and chilling. This is 1864 here. Like, what I tell you, and honestly, if you think about it, now that I'm putting it together, if she was sitting in the white section of a streetcar, do you think the little street caddy dudes are about to tell a 6-foot-tall woman to go back and sit in the black section? Because I know I'm not. Especially if I'm like, I'm freaking 5'4". I'm not telling a 6-foot woman to go back to sit where. But either way, that is huge. People weren't like, lots of people were not doing stuff like that. But no, she was doing it. Maybe she was at height to her advantage, because I know I would have. She also had petitioned to have land given to freed slaves over in the West, like the whole 40 acres and a mule kind of thing. But that effort was unsuccessful. I think Congress was like, that's a no-go. But I mean, look. And the one thing that bothers me the most about the female suffrage movement in the beginning is that she was ostracized by a lot of them. One, because she's this black woman with this loud voice and this very big personality who is deemed as radical. And secondly, it's not what they were used to. So she was kind of just put to the side. And yes, she and Susan B. Anthony were buddies for most of her life. But keep in mind, Susan B. Anthony was also probably part of that group that was saying, oh, all right, big girl's a little too radical now. You know what I'm saying? I think that's why a lot of people have like a little iffy kind of relationship with Susan B. Anthony. Because like, yeah, you did what you had to do for the suffrage movement or whatever, but you forgot a lot of black women. Come on now. I see you. We see each other. So don't be surprised if some black people were like, you know what, me and Susan B. Anthony, nah, she ain't the move. But anywho, after she does a lifetime of touring, giving speeches, telling her story, speaking to these huge political figures, she makes her way to Michigan and she passed away in 1883, and which is a huge and very long life, because when you think about it, so many people during that time period they would make all these huge moves but never see anything come to fruition. So she was able to be the child of a slave, do everything that she did, and then see freedom come to all those who were enslaved, which I think is just awesome. It's awesome. And she's also quoted as saying, "Children, who made your skin white? Was it not God? Who made mine black? Was it not the same God? Am I to blame, therefore, because my skin is black? Does not God love colored children as well as white children? And did not the same Savior die to save the one as well as the other?" End quote. Like, just a life. Like, she was really, like, her whole life was well lived. And that's the most important thing about history, is that, oh, I was going to say something crazy. I shouldn't say that. Okay, anyway. She lived a life well lived, and that's what history is all about. It's leaving a legacy for other people to emulate and follow. And I believe she did that very well. And that is Sojourner Truth, ladies and gentlemen. And I can't believe I summed up Sojourner Truth's life in like less than a half hour. Which is just nuts. But granted, I do make episodes that are at a very general and high level, which is fine. But in between all of those things, she did so many more things. So please, 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 when you have the chance, look into her speeches, the things she said, the things she did, because she did a million more things than some of the things I listed. I feel like I listed a lot of stuff she did. Do it. So I think that's the end of the episode. I rambled through most of it. Isn't that crazy? But the one thing I can ramble about is I'm not as bad as doing episodes as I actually think, because sometimes I'll do an episode on a topic that I like and then I'll listen to it and I hate it. I actually despise it. I've done that like at least 5 times in the entire span of this podcast history, because I'll listen to it and I'm like, yeah, all the facts are right, but I'm not passionate about the subject at all. And it just sucks. I did that last week. So I had, my heart was there. The execution was not. So, that's it. Go follow me on Instagram at Lady Billie Day. That's Lady B-I-L-L-I-E Day. We do fun things and I like to talk to you guys because you guys are too, too sweet. And the history community on Instagram is like none other. Please. It's like the sweetest thing. So if you want to get into history and meet some amazing people, I've met some of the most amazing people through my Instagram. Like people that, one, we all live near each other, coincidentally. And two, I would not mind going out on like a nice coffee date with some of you guys. I appreciate you guys so, so much. This episode was great to make. You guys are amazing. Love you from all over the world. And you, that one person that listens to my freaking podcast in New Zealand, I love you. I don't know if there's, I mean, I don't know how many people there were, but it looked like it was only one. But if the person listening in New Zealand, I freaking love you, bro. And that's it. This sister you actually wanted to know with Lady Billie Day. Let me hit you with the ASMR. Go wash your hands. Stop COVID. Go get a vaccine. Stop COVID. Oh, speaking of that, back up with the ASMR. Okay, so, full believer that healthcare is your personal choice. But like I've said before, I work in the federal government, which means that there is a vast majority of federal employees who are not vaccinated. And Joe Biden has said that y'all need to get vaccinated by like November or something, or you're losing your freaking job. Which is very, very true, because every time I go into the freaking office, they're like, if you don't have your vaccine, oh no, if you're not fully vaccinated. Which means, but at this point, if you don't have Johnson & Johnson, you're done for. You're fired. So anyway, they're in the process of finding people. So if you ever wanted to get in the federal government and the United States of America, this is the freaking time, because everybody and their mama's getting fired in November. I got my vaccine, so I'm fine. Bye!